express appreciation for your being here. Yeah, we always say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So I'm glad you're with us today, very, very much so. In last week's lesson, or really for the last 2 weeks, been giving some lessons on what to do to stay faithful and steadfast in faith, a very positive lesson on the last 2 weeks. And so now we kind of reverse it, take the negative side, and say what not to do. Kind of sometimes when you say what not to do, and I hope that highlights what to do, because it's the opposite. Now I know this is not a how-to lesson on self-destruction. especially for your destroying physical life, but we're really talking about spiritual life, our relationship to God and our relationship to one another. And so that's the emphasis of this lesson, the spiritual side of life. Already in Bible class, before Bible class, somebody already been trying to kid me a little bit. And they said, what do you mean, Brian, there's only 5 ways to self-destruct? I can think of a few more, but we're just going to kind of highlight from the scriptures how the Bible addresses this topic in the negative side. Some of you, I want to only hear the positive. Well, the Bible doesn't always say that. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about what not to do in our lesson this morning. I know we've always heard the expression, or some of us have, about man's his own worst enemy. Sometimes we are. We're our own worst enemy. We do it. And what it means is, sometimes we create our own problems. We probably have said to ourselves more than one time, I did that. Did that to myself. Or it's my fault. Yeah. I have only myself to blame. I've said that. Did that this morning in Bible class. Missed a whole section of text I wanted to read. Wait a minute. I had to explain, I'm getting older in my bifocals, so I had to go back and read something else. Yeah, my fault. We have, indeed, one of the popular expressions not very long ago was, they always say, my bad. Yeah, that's right. Look what I did. I knew better. Yeah. See what we do to ourselves. Usually when we throw ourselves away, we don't like where we land. I wish I hadn't done that. Wish I hadn't said that. Look at the situation I'm in now. I was going to have to make some first illustrations. I don't know. I'm not going to tell on myself. I'll tell on Volley. Years ago, I remember years ago, he got that mountain bike. I'm going to go ride the canyons. Ride those little narrow paths and rocks and the gullies and the trenches. And sure enough, he gets one of them, falls off. And you know where he landed? In the cactus. He goes, man, I did that. I don't like where I landed. Yeah. Same is true in our spiritual life. Hosea is saying in our introduction here, God's preacher, God's prophet Hosea, says, Israel, you're to blame for your spiritual condition and the consequences that are coming about. You're to blame. You did it, Israel. And so I just listed some of those things from Hosea's sermon in your notes. Hosea 13, verse 9. Hosea says, Israel, you've destroyed yourself. In chapter 14, verse 1, Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. You have fallen by your iniquity, or because of your iniquity. Chapter 7, verse 2, Hosea said, you consider not in your heart that I remember all thy wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, and God says they're before my eyes. Your own doings. Chapter 8, verse 3, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. Chapter 8, verse 7. You have sown the wind. You're going to reap the whirlwind. You're going to reap more than what you sown. In chapter 10, verse 13, you have plowed wickedness, and you will reap iniquity. God's preacher Hosea, through God, says, you did it. Can one go upon the hot coals and his feet not be burned? You know, I walk on the hot coals as my feet, not yours, and are burned as mine. My feet are burning because I did that. Galatians 6, verse 7, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What a man sows, what we do, we're going to reap. One guy said, you know, when I was younger, I sowed my wild oats. He said, I didn't like, when I got older, I didn't like what I had to eat. I sowed wild oats. Oh, it didn't taste good later during the harvest. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 16, don't you know that his servants ye are to whom you obey? To whom you obey? Yeah. So what are we going to do? How do we do it to ourselves spiritually? I listed five things in our notes this morning. How do we do it to ourselves spiritually? Number one, our sins. That's kind of a given. Our sins will destroy us. What's in Proverbs 8, verse 36? He that sins against me, meaning God, wrongs his own soul. The man that sins wrongs his soul. We do it to ourselves. You see, we through our sins cause our own separation from God. When I go my own way, when I do my own thing, when I disobey the commandments, when I do that, when it's my fault, my sin, my crime, it separates me from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it can't save. Not a problem with God. And neither is his ear heavy that it can't hear. But your sins or your iniquities, yours, have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. That's sins. Of course, there's help, isn't there? There's help. Back in that introduction in Hosea 15, verse 9, Hosea said, but in God, or in me, is thine help. We don't have to let our sins destroy us. Don't have to. That's where the fall came. One verse I didn't put in your notes. I think so. In Ezekiel 18, verse 30, it says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Judge everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. So repent. Here's you don't have to stay separated from God. It says, repent, turn yourself from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you've transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. So just as their choice in doing wrong took them away, God says, make another choice and come back. Sin separates. Sin separates. Why will you die in your sins when you can choose to turn to everlasting life? Why would you self-destruct when there's a way to come back? Number two, our words. Our words. Matthew 12, verse 36, Jesus said this, I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Our words condemn us? Every idle word that men shall speak? What did I say this morning? What did I say on the job last week? What about my recreation? What have I said? Idle words? By definition, I think those are words that you say without foundation, for you, especially in the context for your conclusion that God is not to be obeyed. It's the context of Jesus' message to his listeners. Talking about those that don't believe, those that will not confess him. So he says, you know, by your idle words, the words that you say that put you, yourself, and others,
hardly any substance, no foundation to them concerning our faith. We're talking about the spiritual side of life. Idle words that we speak.
It says, by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
It's words that, words would also, idle words might include vulgarity, it could include falsehood or lies. Idle words might include stumbling block words that cause others, again, to keep from obeying God. It could be words that expose your evil heart. Idle words could be words that subvert the truth or twist it or turn it in some way. Those are idle words. Those are words that will either justify us or condemn us. Number three, pride. By definition, pride is an inflated ego, I've heard people say, or someone that's high-minded. The Bible even speaks about a proud look. It's excessive self-esteem. The other word, excessive. In other words, it's more than the ordinary, more than we really need. It's pride is something that's vain. It's arrogance. And in Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, sometimes our pride can take us away from God. Our arrogance, our excessive self-esteem. Proverbs 15, verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. In Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. See, the Bible warns against things that we kind of attach to ourselves, things that we do that will cause our self-destruction. Our pride. James 4, verse 6 says, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. That's what I want. That's what I'm after. Number four. I know you get the idea. I could probably go through, I was going to make a lesson on each one of these things, but you get the idea of the thought for the lesson this morning. I did it. I'm to blame. My fault. Wish I hadn't done that. Oh, why did I say that? Look what has happened now. My fault. Number four is lack of knowledge. Bible knowledge, put in the context of our lesson this morning. Of course, there's some things I've heard myself with lack of physical knowledge. Oh, man, I didn't know that. Look at the trouble it got me into. I wish I'd known. Oh, well, same way spiritually. In Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because, and he says thou, or you, the people, because you have rejected knowledge, God says, I'll reject you. If Satan can keep you and me from God's word, he can keep us from God. God himself. So we have abundant exhortation from the Bible to study the Bible, to study God's word, to get information, to gain knowledge about God. How would you have me present myself before you? Can I do it my own way? Oh no, God's given us a book. This is the way I want you to behave. This is the way I want you to live. This is the path in which I want you to walk. He's given us the instruction. He's given us the manual. And if we do it, this is the best way to live our life. So he gives us abundant exhortation in John 6, verse 45. Jesus said, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. We need to learn. We need to study. I want to find out. In Mark 16, verse 15, the gospel, that great commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. Okay? In Acts 17, verse 11, Paul said, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Then he gives the reason why. Why does he give them this word of praise? Why the Bereans? The Thessalonians, they received the word too. Paul went from Berea to the Thessalonica. They were together, and that what made one more? He said, noble. He said, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that, here's the answer, they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's a good thing. But then look at the next phrase. And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, don't even take my word for it. Search the scriptures. Don't just believe me because I'm saying it. And I say, oh, this is what the Bible says. Well, open the book and make sure that what I'm saying is what the Bible says. That I'm not twisting it in some way. Or I'm not taking it out of context. Find out what the Bible says yourself. Prove all things. I've had to do that my whole life. Because even though I was raised in the church, people say, oh, Brian, you believe what you believe just because your dad and mama, your mom and dad taught you that. Well, that's true. But then when I left Michigan, moved down here, people ask me, Brian, why do you believe what you believe? Well, it wasn't a good answer for me to say to them, oh, well, that's because my mom and dad taught me that. They wouldn't accept that. So I said, well, the reason I believe what I believe is because of this. And I have to open the Bible and I have to prove all over again the things that I was taught from my youth. Had to prove it. Not only to myself, but to them, because they're asking me, why do you believe what you believe? Well, let me show you. And then I'm showing myself too at the same time. That's right. This is why I believe what I believe. That's right. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, I put that in your notes. Prove all things. Prove it. And hold fast to that which is good. Paul told Timothy, study. Study. So we have our Bible classes. We have our sermons. Printed information in the foyer. We have the websites listed on the back of the bulletin. We have our fellowships, our gospel meetings, seminars, or workshops. Why? So that people are not destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Number 5, for the word prejudice, I'll give you a definition. It's not how sometimes we use it in our language today. But in Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus said, this people's heart is wax gross. Prejudging a situation? Oh, Jesus, I hear you making a speech, but no. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to prejudge that what you're saying is not worth listening to. So he says their heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they, look at the individual responsibility. Their eyes, they closed. Did they, is that prejudging a situation? Then Jesus said, if you didn't do that, lest at any time you should see with your ears, or see with your eyes, and hear with your ears, and should understand with your heart, and should be converted, and I should heal you. Oh, I don't want to hear it. See, when the idea of prejudice, prejudging, it means it's a self-induced blindness. It's a self, get that word in there, it's self-induced deafness. It's an opinion or a learning or leaning your it's I just don't want to know. For prejudice means my mind's already made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. This is the way I was brought up. Don't tell me anything different. Even though I can open the book and show you. Oh, no. I know that's what the Bible says, but I just can't believe it that way. Why? Study. Don't take my word for it. Don't do that. Study. Prove. Just as I have to do all the time. Anytime anybody comes and asks me a question, even now at my age, I have to open the book and show. You refuse the gospel message invites destruction. Jesus tells his audience, you do that. You're doing that. You're closing your ears. You're shutting your eyes. And when you do that, you can't be converted. And you cannot be healed. But that's the text. So in closing, all of our actions, our reactions concerning the Word of God will determine our salvation or destruction. Our action or our reaction, God's Word determines for our destruction. We determine. We determine that. Verse 24, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You have to believe. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you will perish. You need to do that. The individuals. You need to repent. Jesus said in John 3, verse 5, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom. We have to do that. Burdens on us. He said again in John 3, verse 7, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. It must be you. So that's the invitation we always extend. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, ever been baptized for remission of sins, we